Let's open our Bibles today to the book of Colossians. I'm going to be speaking in a little while on this subject. True believers continue to believe. Now, this is interesting. I believe I'll hold your attention. I think you'll be interested in what I have to say. True believers continue to believe. Now, here in Colossians 1, look down at verse 21. Colossians 1, 21. And Paul says, "And you that were at one time separated from God and enemies in your mind by wicked works, hath Christ now reconciled to God in the body of his flesh by death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith. Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." Now, my friends, listen to me. I often get letters, often, or talk to people who say something like this: "Well, so-and-so made a profession, preacher, made a profession of faith, a profession of Christ years ago, but now they have no interest. They have no interest in spiritual things at all. They never worship God and have no interest in the gospel. Do you think that person's still saved?" Or I hear someone say something like this: "Well, he accepted Jesus. He walked down the aisle and accepted Jesus as his personal Savior back when he was a boy." I have mothers tell me their sons did this, or daughters. "But now they're back out into the world completely, and they have no interest, but they're still saved, aren't they?" Are they? Nearly every church, the church of which you're a member, has a roll full of members. Oh, they've got members on the roll, members who rarely attend, some never, members who have no interest in the Word of God, members who are, yes, dishonest, worldly, filthy mouth, profane in word and deed. They have lots of members. I took a Baptist church in this area many years ago, 1951. They had 1,243 members on the roll. 800 of them never attended. 800 of them were never seen, never attended the services ever. Hadn't been there, some of them, in 10 years. But they made a profession of religion. They joined the church. They were baptized. They used to attend. Nearly every church has hundreds of members like that. And the churches today have a constant turnover, pastors and people. Most pastors aren't there over 2 or 3 years, and they're gone. And the people are gone. Where are all the people that made their professions, all those people that walked down the aisle and shook the preacher's hand, said they were saved? Where in the world are they? You ever stop to think about that? They come and go, but they ever one claimed to be a Christian. Every blessed one of them claimed to be saved. They claim to be Christians. Are they Christians? Are they believers? Are they saved? Let's read the text again. One more time. "And you that were one time separated from God," Colossians 1:21, "enemies in your mind by your wicked works, hath Christ now saved, reconciled you to God." Peace between you and God. "In the body of his flesh, by death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight." There's no period there. There's a colon. That sentence is not finished. "You who were lost are now found. You who were at war are now reconciled. You who were separated from God are now holy, unblameable, if you continue in the faith." Not if you quit. Not if you fall out of the way. Not if you go back into the world, if you continue in the faith. That's what it says. You have no right to the promise without the condition. Grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Let me read you some scriptures. If you don't want to take the time to look these up, just write them down and read them later. This is what God says. Listen, Hebrews 3 verse 6. Right along this same line. I'm saying that true believers continue to believe. True believers don't quit. True believers don't leave the gospel. True believers don't drift away. I beg your pardon. True believers continue to believe. Christ, Hebrews 3, 6. Notice, Christ is the Son over His own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing firm unto the end. The end of what? The end of this life. Hebrews 3, 14. Listen, we are partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Hebrews 10, 38. Listen. Now Paul says, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. No pleasure. But thank God, he continues, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Matthew 10, 22, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. 1 John 2, 19, listen to John. He's talking about some folks that have left the gospel and left the church and left the body of Christ. And John says, they went out from us. They quit. But they were never of us. For if they had been of us, if they had been true believers, if they'd been true members of the body of Christ, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made clear that they never were of us. I tell you, that's pretty plain. And the next time someone comes to you and says, so-and-so made a profession many years ago, and now they have no interest in the gospel, they've quit, they've gone out, they've departed, then you read that verse of Scripture to them. And you tell them that you don't have an opinion, but God has a strong opinion. And in God's Word, it says, they went out from us, but they were never of us. For had they been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be made clear, manifest, that they were not all of us. You see, these scriptures are plain. They really don't need any comment from me. They're very plain. They're very clear. True believers continue to believe. Those in the faith continue in the faith. They live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We begin living by faith. We continue to live by faith. And like the apostles, like the prophets of old, we die in faith. And I'll tell you, if we preachers are really concerned for the glory of God, and I wonder how many preachers today are more concerned about their homes and salaries and popularity and fame and all these other things rather than the glory of God Almighty. If we're concerned for the glory of God, if we're concerned for the truth of God's Word, if we're concerned for our own souls, for our own spiritual well-being and for the well-being of our hearers, we're going to quit crying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. You can't speak peace where God Almighty does not speak peace. You can't tell a man he's saved. You can't see a human heart. Only God knows who knows him. And I'll tell you this, if we'll deal honestly with the Word of God and have the glory of God in our hearts and the well-being of our hearers, we'll preach this, that repentance and conversion and faith and coming to Christ is not, I repeat, is not a once-for-all decision. Repentance and faith and conversion and coming to Christ is not a once-for-all decision or an emotional experience. Faith and repentance and conversion is a state of heart and a state of mind that continues to repent. A man who truly repents keeps on repenting. A man who truly believes keeps on believing. A man who truly is converted and comes to Christ keeps on coming to Christ. It's not a once-for-all thing that you get fixed up with like you have your tonsils out. To repent, it never stops. To repent is to keep on repenting. To believe is to keep on believing. To come to Christ is to keep on coming to Christ. And let me tell you something. To cease to have a need for Christ, to cease to have an interest in the mercy of God is to reveal that we never had an interest in the mercy of God. One day our Lord's disciples were about Him and all the multitude was out there. He had fed them and preached to them and made them angry. And they all left. They all departed. They all went away. And after the 5,000 went away, He turned to His disciples and He said, "Will you also go away?" And Peter answered and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe, and we're sure that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. We found all we need in you. We found all we want in you. We found all that God requires in you. Now where shall we go? We've got nowhere to go." And that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that very thing. And I say the Word of God says that. When a person truly comes to Christ, repents and believes, it's a state, it's a new heart, it's a new nature, it's a new creature. And he continues to believe and continues to repent and continues to come to Christ. You see, the Word of God, my friends, listen to me. And I wish preachers would sound this note. They don't, they won't, they're not going to. But the Word of God reveals that salvation is a union with Christ. It's not just a decision. It's not just an acceptance of doctrines and facts. It's not just changing a lifestyle. It's a living, vital, personal, growing, lifetime union with the Son of God. In Christ, I in them and thou in me, Christ said. Christ in you, that's the hope of glory. When Christ, who is my life, shall appear. Christ is not the most important thing in my life. He is my life. Paul wrote and says, "I'm dead to the world. I'm crucified to the world. I'm dead and buried. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." He's not a fire escape that I've adopted. He's not an insurance policy I've taken out. He's not someone I'm going to grab hold of before I slide out of this world. Christ is my life. Salvation is not acceptance of a religion or a lifestyle. It's a union with a person. It's a new life. Those who are saved have been saved. They are being saved. And their salvation is nearer now than when they believed. See, that's what the Bible says. It uses the three tenses in reference to this thing of being saved. Ephesians 2:8-9, the actual translation is, "For by grace have you been saved." Have you been saved? And 1 Corinthians 1:18 reads like this, "To those who are being saved, Christ is the wisdom and the power of God." And Romans 13:11 says this, "Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." And I'm saying this, and the Word of God teaches this, that this thing of redemption and salvation, eternal life, is not a decision. It's not a once-for-all emotional experience. It's not just accepting some facts and changing a lifestyle. It's not just investing in a church and staking your claim to a plot of land somewhere in the sweet by and by. It is a new birth. It is a new creature. It is a new life. It is a union with Christ Jesus. It is Christ in you and you in Christ. And there's no way to go back. There's nothing to go back to. The old man is crucified with Christ. The old life's dead. The old creature's gone. We're dead. That's what baptism says. I was alive, now I'm dead. I'm buried, and I'm risen in Christ to walk in newness of life. There's no going back. There's nothing to go back to. Four times the Scripture says the just shall live by faith. Shall live by faith. And it declares that we're kept by the power of God through faith. Now, this is what this is saying. A person is quickened, a dead sinner, a lost man, woman, child, is quickened by the power of God to acknowledge his sin and his need of a redeemer, his need of a mediator. He comes to see he's lost. He's convinced of sin. And that individual looks to Christ. God reveals that Christ is his righteousness, and Christ is his sin offering. And Christ, through Christ, he has forgiveness and eternal life through his life and death before God, and he looks to Christ. He believes Christ. By faith, he's justified. By faith, he's redeemed. By faith, he's accepted in the Beloved. And that person receives a new heart, a new nature, is a new creature. He now loves the things of God, and he hates the things of the world. He now loves the things of God, and he finds his rest and peace and joy in the Lord. That's right. And it's not just talk. It's experience. And he will continue in that faith. And not only continue in that faith and in that relationship, but he will grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's not a matter of going back, actually a matter of growing. Actually, it's not a matter of leaving Christ, it's loving Christ more. There's no question at all about turning back. The question now is, how much of the Word do I discern and lay hold of and understand that I may grow more like Christ? And then when life is over, that person whom God awakened, whom God quickened, whom God justified, whom God called, who was saved by grace through faith, dies in that faith. Loving it more, believing it more strongly, looking to Christ with a firmer gaze, still coming to Christ. That's right. True believers continue to believe. Now, the Apostle Peter, I want to show you this before I close. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted, that word is experienced, that the Lord is gracious. Have you? To whom coming? To whom? This generation says, to whom I came. That's not what Peter says. He said, to whom coming? Oh, I repented. You mean you're not repenting now? No, you never did. Oh, I once believed. You're not believing now? You never did. As newborn babes, newborn, yeah, we're born of God. That's what salvation is. It's a new birth. We're sons of God. We're born into the family of God. We're born by the Spirit and the grace of God. That's not a decision. It's a birth. Born of God. as newborn babes, that is, children, babes. We're not masters. I'm not a master. I'm no graduate. Paul said, I hadn't apprehended yet. I hadn't laid hold upon that for which I've been laid hold of by Christ. I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. I'm just a baby, just a child, and children need to grow. Children are always growing, maturing, learning, being taught. As newborn babes, children desire. The average church member, you have to rope him and hogtie him to get him to read his daily Bible readings, let alone desire to hear the message. If they can think of any excuse not to come and hear the Word of God, they'll stay away. But these newborn babes desire the milk of the Word like an infant desires a mother's breast. Have you ever seen a hungry 2-week-old infant? His little old mouth just works all the time. He just wants nourishment. He wants milk. He wants food. And that's the way God's children are. It's the children's food, the children's bread is the Word of God. That's how we grow as a newborn babe. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. If so be that you've tasted. You've never had a taste of it, you don't desire it. If you've never tasted that the Lord is gracious, you never tasted of His grace, all you've done is feed on the briars of your good works. If you've never tasted the clover of His grace, then you're satisfied with the goat's tin cans. But if you've ever tasted that the Lord is gracious, you'll never, never, never be satisfied till you awake in His likeness. You'll never get enough. Never get enough of the gospel. Never get enough of the Word of God. Never get enough of the children's bread. If you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Huh? As newborn babes desire a mother's breast, you desire the milk of the Word that you may grow. That is, if you've tasted, experienced that the Lord is gracious. You ever tasted that milk? You ever drunk from that well? Have you ever experienced that mercy? You never get enough. Watch this now. To whom coming? To whom coming? Yes, but preacher, I came to Christ. No. Those who come to Christ are still coming to Christ. They're still coming every day. Every day. To whom coming? To whom coming? That's a person. It's not to what coming. It's not to a bench. It's to whom. It's not to a position. It's not to a doctrine. It's not to a law. That's not living. It's coming to a person. To whom coming? Not to a ceremony. Not to a church building. To whom? To what coming? No. To whom coming? What is coming? It's always believing, always trusting, always looking, always obeying, always come to whom? Coming. As to a living stone. Now, often our Lord is referred to as a rock, as a stone, but not as a position. He's a living stone. He's a living stone. He's a foundation, but He's not a position that a person comes to and establishes a legal position. No, sir, He's a living stone. This is a living union. This is a living Lord to whom we come. And He's disallowed indeed of men. He's rejected of men. He's hated of men. Watch that next verse. But He's chosen of God, and He's precious. Who's precious? Christ is precious. His promises are precious. His Word is precious. And the faith He gives is precious. Now watch this. You also are living stones built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices to God by Jesus Christ. We come to whom coming constantly, to a living stone. But we're not just guests, onlookers. We are built up by God a spiritual house in which Christ dwells. The That building down there you call the church is not where God dwells. God dwells in living temples, in his people. They're living stones. Back in the Old Testament, there was a tabernacle. There was a priest. There was an atonement. In that tabernacle, God met men. By the hand of that priest, the sacrifice was offered. And men, the atonement was made. Jesus Christ came, tabernacled among us. He's our great high priest. He offered his blood, the only sacrifice for sin, and redeemed us. Now it says here, you are a temple. The believers are a holy spiritual house. That's right, of living stones. Our Lord has laid these stones in his spiritual house. And we too are priests. He hath made us kings and priests to our God. And we have a sacrifice to offer, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What's that sacrifice? The sacrifice of praise and worship and faith. And you mean to tell me that those folks who never praise him and never worship him and never offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, that they're in this temple in which my Lord dwells? I'll give you an old Alabama expression. You're full of baloney. True believers continue to believe. And I'll base that on this word right here. They are living stones in a spiritual house. They are a holy priesthood that offer sacrifices to God, acceptable by Jesus Christ. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly appear? If you want this tape called True Believers Continue to Believe, on the other side is How Can One Know God? Send $2 and we'll mail it to you right away. Till next week, God bless you, everyone.